How much weight is that chair under right now?
I think I'm about 100 kilos. I'm not heavy anymore. So, I mean, this is
That's
just
not heavy. Okay.
A substandard chair, Glenn.
Okay, I'm probably about 40 kilos myself, but yeah. Brilliant. So, you were a part of this show.
Yes.
Gladiator.
Yes.
So, for those too young to remember Gladiator, can you explain to us what used to happen on a Saturday night?
Okay, so it was a massive TV show that I used to be on over 20 years ago, and it was a bit like... Kids, put your hands up if you've seen Ninja Warrior or Total Wipeout. Okay, so it was just like that, and they used to pay me lots of money to play games like that, and I used to love it. It was like a wacky warehouse for adults. So
yeah.
It was great fun.
So brilliant, like soft play, but like with big muscles.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, and so you were a gladiator, and you would take on a contender.
Yes.
So who were the contenders?
Well, the Gladiators was the first reality TV show, really.
Yes.
So the contestants were just... ordinary people that had ordinary jobs, and they'd write into the television and say, I want to go against the gladiators.
Yes.
So they'd find themselves, you know, one day they could be, I was going to say a milkman, but I don't think we have milkmen anymore, do we? So one day you could be, you know, just working in a shop, and the next day you're on television and you're facing the gladiators, and you can win holidays and tens of thousands of pounds. So it was very exciting.
So everyone was supporting the contender because they thought the contender had a chance. But then Ace came up against them, and Ace... You won most of your battles, didn't you?
Well, the gladiators actually had a massive advantage because we were a lot bigger than the contestants.
Yes.
And so it was quite rare, actually, that the contestants beat the gladiators. But if they did, they managed to get points, and then they could win the eliminator quickly, which is very similar to what we're doing here. In fact, this is a bit like Saturday night at the National Indoor Arena, Glenn.
Because you'd have like 10,000 people at that?
It used to sit 10,000 people, and then 16 million people used to watch the show.
16 million? No one watches a program. No program gets 16 million these days. That's amazing.
No. So in the 90s, it was a golden age of television, just five channels. One channel had all the money, and that was London Weekend Television.
Yeah.
So they could put on these huge productions. So it was really exciting to be part of it.
So you went from, you were a roofer's son. Your dad did the roof tiles, and that was his job. And he always wanted you to be a roofer himself. But you went from, like, not doing that and not having work to instantly being paid a lot of money. What was it like going from being somebody that nobody recognized to somebody that everybody recognized?
I suppose it was like a dream come true, really. Yeah. So I suppose it's a bit like winning a lottery. You think, well, actually, if I win that lottery, it's going to make me so happy. And so I thought, wow, if I could get on the telly and get rich and famous, it's going to make me really happy. So initially, it really did. You know, I went from literally having nothing to having everything. I had so much money, I didn't know what to do with it. Yeah. People were coming up to me in the streets asking me for my autograph. It was great.
Yeah. So you had money... and you had fame, and I guess that's something that people really chase after these days. They really want to get rich, and they really want to get famous. And you had both of those. Did it make you happy?
Yes.
Yeah.
But only...
Thanks very much, Ace, and well done, everyone. That's not the end of the story.
It made me happy, but only insofar as my happiness was dependent on something happening.
Right.
So nobody ever explained to me the paradox of pleasure. That is, the more pleasure you get, the less it satisfies.
Right.
So I had everything that I wanted. You know, I thought I'd be happy if I had the best house. I got that. I was no longer happy. If I had the best car, I got that. I was no longer happy.
Wow.
So in the end, another interesting thing, Glenn, is I found that I didn't own property. Property owned me.
Right.
So as I bought a very expensive car, I was really worried about that car getting scratched.
And right.
I was like, hang on a minute, this is a bit of a trap.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing was, what I found is that when I got famous, I thought that I'd have lots of friends and it would be really good. But actually, the fame took my real friends away and put lots of people around me that were only interested in Ace from Gladiators, somebody on the TV, and they didn't really want to know me, so I was aware of that. So actually, I was quite lonely.
I wonder if the boys and girls can relate to that as well. Like, when you think of all the presents that you wanted to get last Christmas, are you as excited about those presents in November of this year? Probably not. And probably you want to get a new set of presents and you think those presents will make you happy. But I guarantee in 12 months' time, you'll want a new set of presents and a new set of presents. And welcome to planet Earth. That's what we're all like. We think we'll get these things and they'll make us happy, but they don't really. And at the end of the day, Gladiator's finished. In 99, is that right? 1999 or 2000?
I think so. I'm useless at dates, Glenn.
Something like that.
Somewhere in the 90s. It finished.
Sometime in the 1900s, children. Sometime in the 1900s.
I think it was 2000, actually.
Okay.
I think 2000 was pretty much... They did a Battle of the Giants. That's where all the gladiators had to go against the other gladiators. And we were all friends. So can you imagine what that was like? We were like best friends. Then all of a sudden, they were like, we want you to fight each other. And we were like, we don't want to do that. And then Nigel Lithgow, the producer, said... We'll pay you £10,000. And we all said, yes, we'll fight each other. So that's what we did.
Everybody has their price. Okay. And so after Gladiators finished, you really went on a kind of a spiritual search because you saw that money and fame didn't make you happy. And you started to think maybe there's a spiritual side to life. What was it that started to make you think that Jesus might have been the one who could really fulfill you?
Because I noticed when I looked into lots of religions and spiritual teachings, they all spoke about Jesus. Yeah. But they spoke about Jesus and somebody else. And so common sense says, well, actually, Jesus is all through the Bible. Why am I going to these other places? And actually, it was an Alpha course that I went on where I was actually confronted with the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's where I examined the evidence of who he was as a person. Yeah. And I had no idea that he was real and that he existed. And he was the Son of God, you know, and so I didn't believe any of this stuff till I examined the evidence.
Right, right. And one way of understanding who Jesus is he is like the great contender that comes up against the champion gladiator called Death. Okay, there's a bad guy, champion gladiator called Death, and everybody always loses to this champion gladiator. And then Jesus comes along, and wonderfully, on Easter Sunday, he biffs Death, he wins... And he gives us the victory. Mm. And so there's this great verse in the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. It says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think you can remember that verse? We say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Should we say that?
Thanks be to God
who gives us the victory. Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
One more time. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Who gives us the victory.
Who gives us the victory.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So he's the ultimate gladiator, isn't he? Jesus takes on death and he wins. And he gives us the victory. So just finally, Warren, what difference does it make to have Jesus as your own superhero, your own friend, your own Lord?
Well, you know, when I was on the TV, Glenn, I was fit, I was healthy, I built this big physique, I had everything that I thought that I wanted, but I wasn't spiritually healthy. Mm. So I knew that I was empty spiritually. So I was always looking for relationships and different things to fill this void that was in my heart. But I was unaware, actually, that you have to be fit for eternity. Mm. I just, you know, I think that we live in a society, really, where that sort of hides death. Mm-hmm. And so I always just thought, I'm never going to die. But what really excites me about Jesus Christ is he is the way to get fit for eternity.
Yeah.
You know, he's the way to say, actually, yes, I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And actually, this life that we live in now is just the beginning of an awesome adventure, knowing God and building his kingdom, because all empires fail. Right. It's happened from the beginning of history.
Right, but his kingdom endures forever. Fantastic, great. Well, if you want to find out more about this, we've got services tomorrow, 9:15 and 10:45. We'd love to see you along at church with you guys. But I think in a second, what do you reckon, Mark? Are we going to get the inflatables back again? What do you think, Mark?